Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning. Gracious God, thank you that you have given us your word. And Lord, as we look at Proverbs 31, for many, probably a familiar passage, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see it afresh, open our ears to hear it afresh. Bless us most of all, Lord, point us to our great Savior in whom we have grace and the power to fulfill your word. Lord, as we look to you, we pray that by your Spirit you'd be working in all of us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe when you were a child, or maybe you've heard little children arguing on the playground saying, "My mom is better than your mom." And then the other one retorts, "No, my mom's the best." Well, now you can put the argument to rest. Because for $25 or less on Etsy, you can purchase your mom a trophy that says "World's Best Mom." Looks like one of those little trophies that everybody gets for participating in T-ball. But I'm sure your mom will love it. If she isn't the trophy type, however, you can always just get her the T-shirt that says "World's Best Mom." There is a rightness to celebrating mothers. Probably not so much with tacky trophies and T-shirts. But Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, is celebrating a godly wife and mother. This passage is an acrostic poem, and what that means is that it successively follows the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse is a letter. And this poem served probably a dual purpose. For one, it brings to a close the book of Proverbs, which began with a father exhorting his son to pursue wisdom, who throughout the book of Proverbs is personified as a woman. And so it only makes sense to end with this passage referring to an excellent wife. But more than that, this passage is an idealized picture of a godly wife and mother. This is the sort of wife that every son ought to seek, the sort of wife that every daughter ought to be. But maybe as we come to Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, if you've heard it before, perhaps just the thought of it causes you to cringe inside. Perhaps because you've been convicted about how you've failed to live up to being the Proverbs 31 woman, or perhaps you hear what it says and you think, well, that's just an old-fashioned vision of what women are to be like. Well, today I want to dispel that myth. This is not an old-fashioned picture of a godly woman, but indeed very profitable for us today, for it is the eternal word of God. But also, I hope that this passage actually encourages you. I hope to encourage you with God's grace as we consider this text. So let's look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31 together. We read, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So Proverbs here depicts the worth, the practices, and the character of the excellent wife who fears the Lord and the praises that she rightly deserves, the praises that she receives. And so today my call to you, the main idea from this passage is, ladies, for you, strive to be a worthy warrior woman. And for all of us, let us appreciate and praise such women. So the passage begins and ends with appreciation for the woman, and then it ends with the praise she rightly deserves. And in the middle of it, from verses 13 through 27, we see the practices and character of this warrior woman. And so let's begin in verses 10 through 12, unpacking that, where we see that we are to appreciate the worth of such a woman. We are to appreciate her worth. Now, mothers and grandmothers, let me ask you, you don't actually have to answer this. Do you ever feel unappreciated or underappreciated? I'm sure you do. Well, this is apparently nothing new, and I believe that's why Proverbs 31 is, in essence, calling for people to praise, to appreciate such wives and mothers. And you look around at our society today, and it clearly undervalues the amazing and unique role that God has given women, especially I'm thinking of mothers and wives. And so rather than celebrating these unique contributions and the fact that our society benefits from the work of mothers with their children, and in fact, it gives our society a future, our society tends to actually devalue and undermine the role of wives and mothers and grandmothers. Well, the family and the church are to be countercultural. We must be those who appreciate and celebrate the role of worthy warrior women. Notice how she's described in verse 10. Begins, she is an excellent wife. The word excellent in Hebrew could also be translated, she is worthy. She has strength or valiance or ability or nobility even. It's actually used regularly in military contexts. In other words, this woman is a warrior. Now, I personally disagree with forcing women to enter the military draft, but the reality is you can have warfare way apart from a battlefield. You can have warfare where you aren't fighting with swords and spears or guns and tanks and fighter jets. And we even know that in regular day-to-day life. Has anybody heard of cyber warfare? Well, that doesn't happen with those kind of things, does it? You see, women have been engaged in war ever since the Garden of Eden, when our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God and brought sin into the world. God, when he cursed the serpent, who is Satan, said to the serpent, he said, "I will put enmity, war, battle. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring." Yes, motherhood is war. Marriage is war. But here's the reality. If you're not fighting against the evil one for your husband and children, then you will be fighting against your husband and children. You must engage in the right battle. So worthy warrior women, recognize the reality that life is a battle every single day. And so they are indeed valuable. Notice what it says, verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. The point is, she's rare. She's far more precious than jewels because she's rarer than jewels, is what it's saying. Why is she so valuable to her husband? Notice, it's because the heart of her husband trusts in her. He can trust her. Why? Verse 12, because she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She's always looking out for his good. She's not looking to try to hurt him. In fact, as we see in verse 11, he will have no lack of gain. That word gain in Hebrew literally is literally spoil or bounty. In other words, this is talking about battle again. She is winning battles for her husband and for her family. And so her husband can trust in her. He can have true intimacy with her. They can have the one flesh union that God intended back when he created man and woman in Genesis 2. The reality is that we all long for intimacy. We long to be fully known and fully loved for who we are. And this is exactly the sort of marriage that this excellent wife has. Ladies, let me ask you, do you want your husbands to be more intimate with you? And what I mean by that is not physical intimacy. I'm talking about emotionally and spiritually. If so, then be this kind of woman. Men, let me start by talking to you. Show appreciation to your wife in the ways that she is this worthy warrior woman. Appreciate her for it. Children, likewise, appreciate your mother for the ways in which you see Christ in her. Likewise, I would call all of us, church, we must appreciate women like this, women of whom we can say to our daughters and granddaughters, hey, you want to know what it's like to be a godly woman? Hey, go follow around such and such for a while. Look at her life. Do as she does, because she is modeling it well. This is what Paul called for in the church in Titus chapter 2. We said that spiritually mature women are to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands. Why? So that the word of God may not be reviled. And so we ought to be a people who appreciate the worth of such warrior women. Second, now speaking specifically to ladies, I want to call you to adopt her practices. As we see here, we specifically see two practices of hers. First, in verses 13 through 15, we see that she cares for her family. Verse 13 says, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Now, ladies, no one is expecting you to go out and shear some sheep and to get wool for your family or to go out and work with flax to make linen. That's not at all. This isn't even saying that you have to be able to sew. No, the point here is that she cares for her own family, and she does so well. Verse 14, she's like a merchant ship. She's going to the ends of the earth if she has to make sure that they have the best food. Verse 15, she rises while it's still night. Why? So that she can make breakfast for her family, even portions for her maidens. Those were her servants. Now, this isn't saying that you've got to be an early riser. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that you have to make breakfast for your family. No, you've got to wisely look at your own family situation, your own circumstances, and consider, okay, what does this look like for me? If you're married, it's going to mean that you're working along with your husband and saying, okay, what roles am I going to take? What roles are you going to take? What are we going to do to work together in this? If you're a single mom, it's certainly going to mean that you're going to have to prioritize a lot of things and get some help, perhaps from your parents or your grandparents. But the point here is a clear biblical truth. Wise women care for their families. Proverbs 14:1 says it this way. It says, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly, that is a foolish woman, with her own hands tears it down. So be a woman who cares for your own family, but also notice she benefits the world around her, as we see in verses 16 through 18. She considers a field and buys it. And apparently money that she's saved up or earned somehow with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. We go on to read that she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. This isn't some damsel in distress who can't do anything for herself. But it doesn't mean she's a bodybuilder either. Obviously, God gives different people different frames. Instead, she gains her strength from her relationship with God. As verse 30 says, she is a woman who fears the Lord. She has a relationship with God. And as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, God can strengthen you with power by His Spirit in your inner being to form Christ in you. Ladies, where do you find true strength for whatever God brings your way? You find it in your relationship with God. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. The word profitable is the Hebrew word tob, which means good. This is the same word that's used in Genesis 1, when God's describing the heaven, the earth that He's made. He keeps on saying, and God saw that it was good. It's the same word. In other words, she is looking and what she is doing is good. It's beneficial to others around her. And so that is why she is selling it to them. She's benefiting others as God intended her to do for the glory of God. We're told that her lamp does not go out at night. Now let me be clear. I believe this is hyperbole. I don't think this is saying that she literally stays up all night, because if she did, she would be exhausted and unable to do anything of any value. So don't try to take this literally and stay up all night doing stuff. Rather, what it's saying is she works hard. She fulfills the purposes that God has for her. And so, likewise, ladies, adopt these practices of caring for your own family and also being of benefit to the wider society around you. Listen, our society in 2022 in America is in desperate need of such counter-cultural warrior women. Our society desperately needs women who are going to, for instance, just raise up their own children to know the Lord, and then as Psalm 127 says, to fashion them like arrows so that she's ready to shoot them out into the world for the cause of Christ. We need those kind of women. So ladies, adopt the practices of this warrior woman, of caring for your own household and benefiting the world around you. And then third, my call is that you would aspire to her character. As verses 19 through 27 describes her character, this is a representative list. This isn't some exhaustive list of every sort of character attribute you ought to have. And you need to note that it's actually not arranged sequentially. So it's not, you know, verse 19, then verse 20, then verse 21. Rather, it's arranged as a chiasm, which means that the first and the last go together. And it comes in, actually, in the midpoint. The main point of this whole section is verse 23, as we'll look at in just a second. But as we see in verses 19 and in verse 27, she is hard-working. She's diligent. Verse 19, she puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She's making clothes for her family. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she's not just vegging out all day, watching whatever comes on TV. She's a hard worker. Genesis 1 and 2 makes clear God created mankind, both male and female, to work hard. But you're not saved by your works. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 makes that clear. By grace you're saved, through faith. It's not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. But then it goes on to say in verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so you're not saved by your works, but you are saved to do good works for the glory of God. So be a hard-working, diligent woman. Second, she's generous indeed, and she's wise in speech. Look at verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Why? Because she's worked hard so that she can benefit others. Verse 26 then says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That word teaching is the word Torah. If you're familiar, that's the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And her teaching then comes from the Word of God. And it's marked by loving kindness. It's marked by covenant faithfulness. In other words, this is a woman who knows the Word of God and has so internalized the Word of God. She's not just, you know, every now and then spouting off a Bible verse and saying, hey, I think this might fit here. No, she's a woman who has been so transformed by the Word of God, by meditating on it, that her worldview is changed by it so that when she speaks with the wisdom that comes from God. Ladies, we so desperately need for women like this. Women of faith who have matured and are able to speak the truth in every situation of life. Not just saying, you know, let me think if maybe there's a reference to that, but saying, no, this is what God's word says from Genesis to Revelation, and so therefore, this is what God has to say to this situation. Because you're not going to face everything in every aspect of life where you're going to be able to pick out a chapter and verse and say, this is what we need to look to. No, sometimes it comes by just being so transformed, your mind thinking God's thoughts throughout Scripture. So ladies, if you're not, study the Bible. Get into our Sunday Bible studies. Get into a group where you are studying God's Word, and this is your becomes your character. A woman who is generous in deed and wise in speech. And then third, notice she's prepared. Beginning of verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household. And then the end of verse 25, she laughs at the time to come. Why? Because though there's going to be obstacles in the future, she's ready for them. She's prepared for them. She's planned in advance, and she's trusting it to God. Fourth, her character is marked by dignity and strength. Look at the end of verse 21. For all her household are clothed in scarlet. They're wearing dignifying clothes. They're not just going out and buying junk. In the beginning of verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. See, ladies, dignity and strength can be such a part of your life that they're like the very clothes that you wear. How do you have such dignity and strength in your life? Well, let me ask you, do you know who you are? That is, do you know what it means to be a woman created in the image of God? Do you, if you're trusting in Jesus, do you know your identity in Christ? Do you live out of who God has saved you to be, moment by moment? That's how you clothe yourself in dignity and strength. So that no matter what circumstances you face, you're ready for them. You've got to live out of who God created you to be and who God saved you to be. Otherwise, you're just going to live with whatever is trendy, whatever is popular, whatever your friends or family have to say to you, even if those things may not be from God at all. Or perhaps you'll just be swayed by your own feelings or by your own thoughts or by your own desires. Your character needs to be marked by the dignity and strength of knowing who you are, who God has made you and saved you to be. And then fifth, she's marked by being selfless. Verse 22 says, she makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now you might read that and say, wait a second, it just said she does this for herself, right? But yes, it does say that. But if she's making bed coverings for herself, who does she share her bed with? Her husband. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Why? Because she's dressing herself with dignity for her husband's sake. She's living for others. This is confirmed by verse 24 where it says she makes linen garments and sells them. To who? To others. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Listen, it's not wrong to make a profit from your labors. In fact, that's a good thing. That's part of the way God made the world. You can get paid for doing things for the glory of God and out of love for others. That's actually what we expect of people. I mean, you think of a good doctor, or good nurses, good, you know, people who work in retail or at restaurants. You know, we want them to do their work well, and we rightly pay them for it. But they can do it for the glory of God, and so can you. You can work to selflessly serve others because it's all about your attitude. It's about being like Jesus. Philippians 2 calls you to have the attitude of Christ. Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so let that be your character. Aspire to be selfless. And then sixth, she is supportive. Verse 23, as I mentioned, is the main idea of this, of verses 19 through 27. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now you might ask, if this passage is all about the character of a godly woman, why is the main point about her husband? Well, because she is so marked by selflessly supporting him, he is able to get out into the community and fulfill his role there. She is a godly woman, and so she has a godly husband who can lead in their town. Why? Because she is fulfilling her complementary role so that he can fulfill his. I remember reading in Charles Spurgeon's autobiography, he talks about how one time his father, who was a pastor, went out and he was preparing to leave to go preach. But he felt convicted that, hey, I'm not spending enough time with my own family. And so he ran back home. Nobody's in the downstairs. So he goes up the stairs and he hears his wife on her knees praying for each of their children by name. And so Charles Spurgeon's father ends up leaving and going out to preach. Why? Because he could entrust the home to his wife, because he saw that she was ably caring for the children. Don't give in to the lies of the feminism of our society, friends. Aspire to be supportive. If you have a husband, be supportive to your husbands. Not so that he can spend no time in the house, but no, so that he can fulfill his role and you can fulfill your roles, the roles that God gives you, whether they're in or outside of the house. Men, let me address you really quickly before we move on. You know, I remember, you know, in seminary, people saying, I want a Proverbs 31 wife. Men, if you want a Proverbs 31 wife, you better be a Proverbs 1 through 30 man. Otherwise, you aren't getting a Proverbs 31 wife. You've got to be the kind of man who is a selfless, godly leader. The kind of man who can be an elder in the gates of the city, a man who can be an elder or a deacon in the church. Ladies, that's the kind of man who you ought to be looking for. But first, work on yourself. Aspire to have such godly character. And then in verses 28 through 31, fourth, we all ought to acclaim her praises. You've got a woman who is your wife or your mother, who is living out these practices, who has this sort of character. Listen, you ought to be praising her for it, for what you see of Christ in her. Notice verses 28 and 29, she's praised by her family. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. And what does he say? He says, many women have done excellently. Many women have been worthy warrior women, but you surpass them all. You're the best of the best, dear. Men, I often tell men this, you ought to be your wife's CEO, her chief encouragement officer. Make that your aim to encourage her, to affirm what you see of Christ in her. Then notice she is praised for her faith in verse 30. What does our culture look for in women? What does our culture praise? What are you going to see when you turn on the movies, when you watch YouTube or TikTok or whatever? Women are praised for their charm and beauty. But as we see here, verse 30, charm is deceitful, it lies. Beauty is vain, it's fleeting. Charm and beauty will promise you happiness, but it never delivers on the promise. You know, I think of all those Hollywood hotshots and those sports stars. And you know, they get, you know, they call them trophy wives that they want to take everywhere and show off to everyone, take them to the Met Gala and everything. what ends up happening? They cheat on them, don't they? Because they're never satisfied with them. No, instead, you are to look for a woman who fears the Lord. Such a woman is to be praised, as we read here. Why? Because that is what's lasting, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, do not let your adorning, ladies, be external. The braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Why? Because those things last and indeed outlast this life. And then notice she is praised by her community. Now, this probably won't happen much in our day, because our society doesn't praise such things. But here this woman was praised in the gates by her town leaders. She was the talk of the town. Why? Because she was doing what God intended her to do, fulfilling her responsibilities and seeing God bless her labors. Ladies, as we wrap up, maybe you're here and you recognize that you have not measured up to this ideal. As Romans 3:23, which we read earlier, tells us, none of us do. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. If you're trusting in Jesus this morning, own the grace of God. Confess the ways that you have failed to be the Proverbs 31 woman, and own God's forgiveness paid for in the blood of his son, Jesus. Don't live in it. Don't live in shame or guilt. Instead, trust Christ. And then by the empowering grace of God, seek to walk in the newness of life that's yours in Christ, and strive then to obey, to be the kind of woman God created you and saved you to be. Men and everybody else, we've got to all own up to the ways in which we have failed to appreciate and praise what we see in our wives or in our mothers or our grandmothers. And likewise, what we are to do is we are to confess our sin to God, receive his forgiveness, and use Mother's Day as a great opportunity to begin. But don't let it be the end. Let it be the beginning of seeking to fulfill what God calls you to do. Or maybe you're here today and you're recognizing when it comes to God's standard, you've not measured up at all because you've been living your own way, living for yourself. If that's you this morning, the grace of God is available to you. God sent his son Jesus into the world. Why? Because none of us measure up. There's only been one man in all of history who's measured up. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. Put your trust, your confidence in him and in him only. Receive God's forgiveness and the freedom that Jesus gives and the hope that he and he alone gives. Recognize that in his cross, every sin, every failure is paid for. And then recognize that because he is risen to be Lord, if you trust in him, rather than God seeing you in your sin, God doesn't count you as being disobedient. Instead, he looks on you as robed in the righteousness of Christ, as if you completely and fully obeyed. Put your hope and your trust in Jesus and be clothed with the dignity and strength that he alone can give. Ladies, let me exhort you one more time. Strive to be a worthy warrior woman. And everyone, let us appreciate and praise such women. And let us do so often. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Proverbs 31 and certainly the comfort and yet the challenge that it gives us. Lord, we pray that we would be a church that appreciates and encourages women to be this sort of a woman. Lord, we pray for our ladies, that you would help them to fulfill your role and help all of us to fulfill the role you have given us. We thank you for your word. Lord, as we take these next few moments in silence to hear from your Spirit, we pray that you would write your word upon our hearts and lead us to respond to you in faith. Lord, we entrust the work to you, for it is yours ultimately. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.